John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. And just take a few moments here. The title of my message is From Withered to Walking in Wisdom. So I'm just going to pray here, and I'll just jump right into the message. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be here tonight, Lord. And I pray that you just give me clarity in my thoughts, Lord, and help me to give this message to them, Lord, as you gave it to me. Lord, I pray you'd hide me behind the cross, Lord, and just use me tonight to be a blessing to these folks here at Harvest Baptist Church, Lord. I pray that you would just challenge us, Lord, and help us to draw closer to you tonight. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, he's talking here in John chapter 5 of a guy that was a crippled man. He was a withered man. The Bible says that he had an infirmity of 38 years. And I noticed that this man wanted so badly to be healed in those waters. I mean, I can see why he did. I mean, 38 years, it's an infirmity. 38 years of people stepping over him and getting into those waters before him. And he kept trying and trying and trying. And I know he wanted to be healed so badly. But there's something that I noticed and I want to point out here. There's a mistake that I believe this man made as to why he wasn't successful in getting into those waters. In verse 7, it says, the impotent, this is after Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? In verse 7, it says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. The mistake I believe here is that key word, he said, sir, I have no man. I think this man here was withered, he wanted to get into that pool and he wanted to be healed. The mistake he made that he was relying on a man to help him do that, to help him get that healing.
Good. Come on.
Now, some of us here, you know, have our ailments and have our problems, and you know, but I'd say we're not crippled. But we may not be physically withered as this guy was. But spiritually speaking, there are days, maybe weeks, or maybe months, that we're just as battered, and we make that same mistake.
Preach.
Of relying on man to help us.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Now there's something fortunate about this man's situation here. Is that although all this time he was relying on man, here he meets the man of God that is capable of healing him. He meets Jesus Christ. And I just want to point out a couple things as to why I believe that this man was successful in being healed. And I want to point out what Jesus has done, some things that this man has done, and just why I believe this man was successful for finally getting his healing once he met Jesus. First thing I notice here in verse 8, Jesus gave him instruction when he met Jesus. He came and he met Jesus. In verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. So first I see here, instruction. He told the man what he needed to do. And I think it's in a very specific order. He told him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. So Jesus already starts doing his part in helping heal this man. Second thing I noticed right away, which is so awesome about the Lord, after he gives him instruction, immediately the next verse, the next few words says, and immediately the man was made whole. Not only did he give him his instruction, he told the man what he needed to do, then right away, he gave him the ability and the opportunity to follow through with the instructions. He didn't just say, hey, crippled man, rise, take up thy bed and walk away from him. He told him what to do, and then immediately the man was made whole. Immediately, Jesus made him whole. Now, right there, we see Jesus. He's being loving, faithful, doing his part. But there's something that I noticed. In order for this man to really experience the miracle that just happened, he still had a part to play in receiving the full amount of this blessing. Chapter 9 says, or verse 9 says, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Jesus gave the instruction. He gave the ability and opportunity to follow through with the instruction. But that crippled man still had to do his part. He had to exhibit faith to stand up. See, the man, if he didn't believe Jesus actually healed him, which if I was crippled for 38 years and all of a sudden Jesus says, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk," I may have had a problem believing I was healed.
Come on.
This man could have chosen to still lay there and act crippled, not believing he was healed. But the thing is, even if this guy doesn't stand, there was still a miracle of healing. Either way, Jesus did make him whole. But this man would have never experienced this full blessing without showing that faith to stand. It's the same thing with us. If we constantly come to the Lord and ask him to heal us and he heals us, but we just still lay there like we're battered, we're not going to experience the full blessing. We still got a blessing of being healed, but we're not going to do anything with the blessing. We're not going to find out the full potential of that blessing. We still have to do our part.
Yes,
there's still a part that we play. Just because Jesus heals us doesn't mean we become the greatest preacher, the greatest soul winner, the greatest Christian, the greatest. You still got to do something. See, now, this story is the story of a man next to the pool of Bethesda. But we have similar things in our everyday life that is almost identical to this. See, this man came to the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus met him there. We come to the altar, and Jesus meets us there.
Good. Amen.
Amen.
See, this man then spoke to Jesus, just like we speak to Jesus. And, you know, what do? We talk to Jesus, and he meets us there, and we make things right with him. We confess our sins to him. We tell him how sorry we are. The problem is, after he gives us that instruction at the altar, and he restores us, and gives us that opportunity to now leave church and go do something on that mission field.
Come on.
The problem is a lot of times we go right back to acting crippled. The laziness comes back. The excuses come back. The bad habits come back. You know, sometimes you get those habits so formed in your life that once you go back, you realize there's so much that has to be changed. And if you don't take a stand and stand up and start making those changes, you're going to automatically go right back to being crippled.
Good.
And then we find ourselves constantly coming to the altar. And I believe, you know, sometimes you see people and it's like, oh, you come to the altar, now they're back in the club. So you go to the altar, they're back doing this. They're back in the altar, they're doing this. Oh, they're struggling with this. I believe those people are genuinely coming to the altar burdened about their sin. I believe they are coming here and genuinely talking to Jesus Christ, looking for healing. And at that moment, they have all the intention in the world of going out there and being the greatest Christian ever to walk on this earth.
Yes. Yeah.
But, like I said, you know, the laziness, excuses, the habits, the life that we have formed around us, sometimes you just get right back in that habit. But what we need to do is take this passage and apply it to ourselves. What we need to do, instead of going back out there and acting crippled, we need to stand. We need to stand up. We need to believe that Jesus Christ actually healed us.
Amen.
If we don't believe that Jesus Christ healed us, we're going to be at that altar confessing sins instead of talking to God about some more important things. We're always going to be looking to be healed and never being able to be praying for God's power. See, where this man took up his bed, we need to take up our cross. We might not have the bed that we need to pick up, but every day we have a mission field at work.
Yeah.
When we're out soul winning and knocking doors. Right here in church. It's not just out there amongst the sinners and the people that are doing wrong and being a bad influence. It's here too. We're here to serve each other. We have a mission field 24/7.
Yeah.
So we need to take some advice from this man. You see, this man here, Jesus told him, after 38 years of being crippled, he told him, "Rise and take up thy bed." He immediately healed the guy. Stood up and took up his bed. Now, that's all well, you know, easy. Come to the altar. Jesus is always faithful to forgive us. Every single time we come to the altar, we pour our hearts, we confess to the Lord of what we've done wrong. He heals us every time, gives us that chance. Now we could even get up and stand. Now we made the choice. We get up and we stand. We go out on a mission field. We're going to take a stand. There's something I noticed in verse 10. Right after, verse 9, I'll read verse 9 first. It says, immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Right after he was healed, took up his bed and walked, what does the very next verse say? The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Immediately after he was back on, he was in that mission field, he was healed, he was ready to go, immediately he faced opposition.
Yes, that's right.
That's the exact same thing that happens to us. We come down here, we make things right with the Lord, we are on fire in here. And then immediately we face opposition. As soon as you go to work on Monday, people curse it, people criticize it, people, all this stuff. Okay? So we're going to face that opposition, just like this man. The beauty of that, the beauty of this man's situation, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now Jesus Christ, the Son of God, physically spoke to this man. In our lives, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. When we go out there and we face the people at work, or we face the people in the neighborhood knocking doors and slamming doors in our face, and people telling us they're not interested in all that opposition, and people challenge you, why do you go to church 3 days a week? Why do you pray all the time? Why do you spend all this time? All you do is church. People challenge you, convince you that you don't have to do those things. The Holy Spirit's there to give his encouragement and the warning. Do you ever get that? You know you're in a bad situation, right? The Holy Spirit's there. It says, it's not a good idea. It reminds you, Jesus Christ died on that cross for you. Just like this man, Jesus told him, I made you whole. And he gives him that warning. And he warns him, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. Just like us. You ever notice every time you disobey God and you get away from God, it gets harder and harder and harder and harder to come back? Most of the time, at that point, you're just humiliated in front of God that you're at the altar all the time, making it hard with God. And I don't just mean this altar, I mean the foot of your bed, in your driver's seat, wherever you're at that altar, and you're constantly only talking to God to confess your sins. See, whereas this man had the pool of Bethesda, we have the altar. Jesus restored him, Jesus restored us. This man got opposed by the world, just like we do. Jesus Christ gave him his warning and his encouragement. The Holy Spirit does the same thing for us. Now, all that being said, the part that I believe, this is the most important part, this isn't going to be a long message, I'm almost through. The part of this whole thing that I believe that made him successful, he initially had the faith to get up, believe he was healed. This is the part that I believe that made this man successful and succeeding in his walk. Right after here, and he says, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. So Jesus gave him his warning, just like the Holy Spirit does. Yeah. When the Holy Spirit is talking to you, I think we ought to do exactly like this man did in the very next verse. Right after Jesus Christ came to him and gave him his warning, he also encouraged him. He reminded him he was made whole. Then he told him to sin no more and gave him a warning. And what did this man do in the very next verse? The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. I think that's what we need to do too. We get out there, you want to stay successful? You keep, you know, we say, oh, I'm sin no more. You think about it, you come to the altar, you make it right, you think, okay, I'm going to do this. And then we fail. Besetting sins. The getting in the wrong situation sin. I believe what the key to us to getting that victory over the sin is telling others about what Jesus Christ did for us and how he healed us.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I believe that when we get reminded by the Holy Spirit to sin no more, that the best and only way to conquer that sin and to stay successful is to tell others that Jesus died for us. I believe that soul winning is the way to conquer those sins. If you're not soul winning, I believe, I've noticed, I was telling you, me and Manny have been going out this week. I can tell you, this week has been drastically easier to avoid bad situations. When you're going out there and you're meeting people and you're getting doors slammed in your face and you're getting to chat with folks, you know, sometimes I chat with folks. I'll tell you what, when you're out there doing that, it's really, really hard to have the wrong mindset.
That's good.
It's really hard to get the wrong mindset. You're out there, and every time someone slams the door in my face, I think, I'm leaving this track of the door anyways. And it's like, it's not discouraging. I'm burdened. I feel terrible.
Yes.
You know, someone else might never knock on that door again. And she just slammed the door in the face of her only opportunity, or his possible only opportunity, to hear the gospel.
That's right. About that.
Now there's a verse here. I'm almost finished, and we'll be closing up here. That's the deal with soul winning. I said, you know, I honestly believe that if we want to get the victory, if we want to come down to this altar, and we want to get healed in those waters, when Jesus comes and meets us at that altar, we confess those sins, and we promise him we're not going to do anything else, and he heals us and then gives us that instruction, gives us that opportunity to go out there and reach the world, I believe the way to stick to it is to become a soul winner. Mm-hmm. You might not even really know how to lead someone to the Lord, but I know you can at least do this.
That's good.
I can at least do that.
Yep. Sure.
The Lord can use a track.
Yes, he can.
In Proverbs 11:30, it's a verse that every person knows. I've heard it a million times. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Amen. Now, all this being said, I know it wasn't as deep and detailed a message as we get from Pastor. But all this being said, I challenge you, let's be wise. Not the wisdom, that worldly wisdom that, you know, Isaac was warning us about this morning. Let's get some godly wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And the thing I've also noticed, you want to get over that saying, if you just get yourself over that first hump of taking a stand, getting up, standing up on your own 2 feet, and saying a word for Jesus, it's amazing how quickly those situations start fading away, either because the people that you're talking to leave you and they don't want to be around you, or it gets easier to take a stand, they start respecting you, even though they don't want to hear it. So my challenge here is tonight, if you ever, like me, come to this altar, you know, this is something that the Lord just really opened up to my eyes, because I've had problems where I've come to this altar, whether it be here, my house, wherever my altar was, and I kept thinking, God, why do I keep doing the same stupid stuff over and over? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry again.
Come on.
And as I was reading this passage, this really jumped out to me. It made me realize God was trying to tell me, if you want to get over those sins that make you feel so bad, and when I come to you faithfully every time at that altar and I heal you, you need to get up, take up your cross, walk, and go tell others about Jesus Christ and what he did.
Amen.
I know it wasn't a long message. I hope it helped you. I know it helped me. I'm just going to ask everybody to stand at their feet. I'm just going to, real quickly, if someone wants to play piano, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to give an opportunity. Just take some moments to have us come to our pool at Bethesda, at those healing waters here. If there's something that you're struggling with, or something you need to make right with the Lord, I just pray that you'd come down to the old-fashioned altar, make things right, and just ask the Lord to help you be a soul winner. when you get back out in that mission field.